From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. Alaska elections would be very different if a proposed ballot initiative passes next year. Advocates for the measure say it would promote more open politics in the state, but state Republican leaders say it's unconstitutional. Alaska Public Media and KTOO's Andrew Kitchenman reports.
California and Washington State have primaries where any registered voter can vote. Maine has elections where voters rank their choices. And some national election reform advocates are calling for having the top four candidates in primaries make it to the general election. But Alaska could become the first state to make all of these changes.
We're setting ourselves up, honestly, to try to be the gold standard of election reforms.
That's Jason Gren, an independent and former state representative. He's the primary sponsor of what's called the Alaska's Better Elections Initiative. The initiative would do a lot of things, like strengthen financial disclosure laws. And the election reforms are complicated. Gren says there are a lot of ways to help voters understand the process.
In these states that have, in cities that have implemented it to kind of educate people, they'll do a cookie election, you know, and you rank your favorite cookies, or you rank your favorite beer, or you can rank your favorite movies. And so there's different ways to kind of educate people.
Let's take that cookie example and run with it. Suppose instead of political candidates, you had five cookies, three chocolate chip, an oatmeal raisin, and a peanut butter. Currently, voters would have to choose between the three chocolate chip cookies in a separate primary from the other cookies. And only one of each cookie could advance to the general election. But the initiative would switch to an open primary, where all five cookies could compete. If the initiative were to pass, the top four would advance. This could be three chocolate chips and a peanut butter, two chocolate chips, an oatmeal raisin, and a peanut butter, really any mix of four. That brings us to the general election and ranked choice voting. Voters would be able to rank the four candidates. If one of the chocolate chip cookies gets a majority of the first choice ballots, it's over, it wins. But if that doesn't happen, then the ballots of the people who voted for the fourth place cookie, say the oatmeal raisin, would have their votes redistributed to the others based on how the voters rank the other cookies. And at that point, if there's still no candidate with a majority of the votes, the voters for the third place candidate, a chocolate chip that's maybe a little dry, would have their backup choices split among the two remaining cookies to determine the winner. So why do people like Gren support these election changes? In part, it comes down to the incentive for candidates to be the second choice of voters who like other candidates. Gren says candidates in these elections don't want to alienate those voters.
Stay away from negative advertising. Talk more about the issues that they want to debate. And really, as voters, you know, every study, every poll says, you know, voters want more civility. They want less negative advertising.
Gren says this advantage becomes even greater when it's combined with the top four system. That's because it will no longer hurt for a more moderate or independent candidate who's affiliated with a party to run in the primary. They can still make it to the general election, even if they don't appeal to voters on a narrow partisan basis.
No, they have a fair shake because they can earn that second place vote. They can get to the general election and have more time to work with voters.
Gren closes his pitch for the initiative by asking whether voters are happy with the current system.
Take the time to think about, is the system working for me right now? Is this candidate representing me right now? And I think there's always ways to improve current systems.
One person who does prefer the current system is Glenn Clary. He chairs the Alaska Republican Party.
It eliminates the abilities for parties to elect their own legislators to go to the general. And then I think people need to have a choice, clear choice on the ballots from both parties. And I don't see anything wrong with the existing system that we have.
Clary says the initiative violates a provision of the Alaska Constitution that requires that the candidate for governor who receives the greatest number of votes to become the governor. He also says it violates the federal constitution.
Well, I think it goes against the First Amendment or the right of association. And I believe Republicans who desire to have a primary of their own should have that right to have a primary of their own.
The initiative effort has received a lot of money from an out-of-state group, Unite America, that aims to reduce partisanship. It's drawing interest from other groups focused on overhauling elections across the country. Drew Penrose is with Fair Vote, a Maryland-based group that works to inform voters about ranked choice and other changes. Penrose agrees with Gren that the combination of an open primary that advances four candidates and ranked choice voting would work well.
And I think having multiple viewpoints, more than two viewpoints, present in the general election is something that people probably want everywhere. And if there are multiple, you know, groups with operating within the label of Republican, then seems like providing a way for those to be expressed in the general election could have real value.
Penrose notes that Massachusetts may also have ranked choice voting on the ballot, and having very different states consider the change is generating excitement. It's far from a done deal that the initiative will even appear on Alaska's ballot. The organizers have to gather more than 28,000 signatures by January 21st to get it on the ballot next fall. Gren says they already have several thousand. And if there are enough signatures, Clary says the Alaska Republican Party would consider a lawsuit challenging its constitutionality. In Juneau, I'm Andrew Kitchenman.
The Alaska Department of Fish and Game is expecting another underwhelming year for pink salmon in Southeast. According to a preseason forecast released last week, the estimated 2020 harvest is around 12 million fish, far below the 10-year average of 35 million. Andy Piston of Fish and Game says it's hard to determine the exact cause of the decline. Warming ocean temperatures caused by climate change could be a factor, both in terms of fish mortality and in changing migration routes. Piston says the recent drought years haven't helped either.
We haven't had any huge die-offs, but we've had a lot of situations where fish are having to hold for extended periods of time. We've had extremely low waters and a lot of spawning grounds, which adds stress to the fish. They have to mill about in warmer waters for longer periods of time.
He adds that this forecast is in line with the general downward trend in pink harvests in recent years, following a record-setting catch in 2013. The forecast specifically cites low escapement rates since 2012 in the northern southeast inside subregion. The final number for the 2019 pink salmon harvest throughout Southeast is expected to come in at just over 21 million fish. A new government report is flagging more problems with the new generation of fighter jets scheduled to come to Alaska the next few years. Alaska Public Media's Zachariah Hughes reports the F-35 program continues to be plagued by cost overruns, technical problems, and a lack of accountability.
It's already the Defense Department's most expensive weapon system. The Pentagon is projected to spend more than $400 billion buying its fleet of F-35 fighter jets over the next several years, but it'll cost taxpayers another $1 trillion to maintain and operate all those planes during their life cycle. And a report by the Government Accountability Office essentially says that is lowballing it. Alaska's scheduled to get 54 of the new planes, which will be housed at Eielson Air Force Base and bring an estimated 3,500 military personnel, family members, and contractors to the area. This is hardly the first time that government inspectors have raised concerns about cost overruns and troubling technical problems with the F-35 program. This new GAO report covers some of the contributing factors and offers recommendations to mitigate them, many of which the agency has made before, only for the Pentagon to take little or no action. One of the worsening problems has to do with spare parts. There aren't enough of them. The military and its primary contractor on the F-35, Lockheed Martin, are trying a novel supply chain model, but it isn't working well. And when crews can't get the spare parts they need, they can't fly training missions, nor can parts be quickly repaired. The GAO report found that when it comes to building the capacity to fix broken parts, the Pentagon is currently 8 years behind schedule, causing huge backlogs. In a six-month period last year, investigators found that F-35 aircraft couldn't fly around 30% of the time just because of shortages in parts. That's three times higher than the program's target. The authors of the report say these and other problems are going to make the F-35s much more expensive than the Pentagon is currently calculating. But no one can say by just how much, because, as the authors note, there is a lack of information within the Defense Department about what the program's real costs are. One of the core issues they cite is insufficient planning around the project. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.
And finally, the carcass of a giant blue whale that's been submerged off the Oregon coast for more than 3 years is being hauled to the surface so it can be reassembled, studied, and put on public display. Oregon State University said last week that the dead whale washed ashore near Gold Beach, Oregon, in 2015. It's extremely rare for a blue whale to wash ashore intact, as the creatures can be the length of two school buses. Scientists removed 58 tons of its flesh and then placed the bones in the water off Newport, Oregon, so scavengers could pick them clean. University says the 365 bones were brought back to land last week, including 18-foot-long mandibles and a skull weighing 6,500 pounds. Skeleton's reassembly will take a year. That's it for the KTOO News Update for Thursday, November 28th, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Happy Thanksgiving.